You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We love the earth. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, June 30th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the weekend, and can you believe we've made it halfway through 2017? Tomorrow, we get the start of legal U.S. sales of marijuana in our fifth state. Nevada starts tonight at midnight, and the state senator Tick Siegerblum is going to be the first purchaser there at one of the up to 40 licensed locations that'll be open. So we'll give you the update on that when we come back on Monday's show. But coming up on today's show, we've got our Marijuana Policy Insider with Marijuana Policy Project's Mason Tvert in what may be his last interview as communications director on this show, as he is leaving for VS Strategies. We talked about the recent closing of the bank accounts for Marijuana Policy Project, accounts they've held since their founding in 1995. Coming up also on the show today, drug war data mining. We take a look at the opioid overdose crisis by the numbers. In Rocky Mountain Cannabis Chronicle, we head to that island of prohibition, the state of Idaho in the western Rocky Mountains, where Cheryl Schumann spoke at the Boise Hemp Fest. And in our Reefer Rock Review, we let our hair down, get some culture on, and invite Herb Thrasher from 420 Radio into the studios. He gives us the latest stoner rock from Five Horse Johnson. It's coming up today.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
My daughter has diplegia, cerebral palsy, which is sort of from the waist down, so her lower limbs don't work effectively. After age 2.5, she began to show signs of autism and self-injurious behavior. There are many families out there in other states that have similar situations, and they're using medical cannabis, and it's helping their symptoms. It's very difficult as a mom to know that there is a medication out there that is being used effectively in other states, and Texas isn't providing that for patients here. Medical cannabis could greatly improve the quality of life for my daughter. It is absolutely inhumane for lawmakers to keep medical cannabis from patients. Texans deserve better.
The Marijuana Agenda, Kevin Sabet's boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaolin Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of the Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. For your $4.20 monthly donation, you'll receive over 20 hours of original first-hour podcasts, plus other materials only available to paid subscribers. Or for just $9.99 a month, become a VIP patron. You'll get over 40 hours of podcasts for the complete program, including Toker Talk Radio, plus ad-free downloads of the segments heard on the Marijuana Agenda. Plus, VIPs get exclusive access to the video replay of the two-hour live stream show and downloads of the spreadsheets and charts I provide from my years of curating marijuana data sets. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at MJAgenda.com.
This is your cannabis headline news. brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Friday, June 30th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. As of tomorrow, Canada will be on track to violating several UN drug treaties under the Liberal government's current timeline to legalize recreational pot, a scenario that could eventually create a political headache for the government, says iPolitics Canada. That's the deadline for Canada to serve notice it will withdraw from three key War on Drugs era UN treaties, which effectively prevent Canada from legalizing marijuana. Three treaties are the 1961 Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs, the 1971 Convention on Psychotropic Substances, and the 1988 Convention Against Illicit Traffic in Narcotic Drugs and Psychotropic Substances. The Liberal government, soon approaching the two-year mark of its mandate, has so far avoided discussing the issue and explaining its plans on the treaty front. Without withdrawing, Canada can't legalize pot until January 2019 at the very earliest and still comply with its international obligations. That would put the legalization date dangerously close to the next election, although the Liberals may intend to ignore the treaties altogether. A legal skirmish over recreational marijuana distribution rights will be resolved quickly. As sales get ready to kick off this weekend, the head of a dispensary group predicted today at a news conference covered by the Las Vegas Sun. Rihanna Durrett, executive director of the Nevada Dispensary Association, said she thinks the matter, which prevents dispensaries from restocking recreational weed after sales begin Saturday, will be settled by the end of July. While tomorrow's first legal adult use sales will go ahead as scheduled, a judge in Carson City has issued an injunction in favor of state alcohol distributors who argue the ballot question approving recreational marijuana gave them exclusive distribution rights. The injunction effectively removed from consideration 87 applicants seeking distribution licenses, including dispensary owners, leaving only five liquor distributors. With the matter tied up in court and the marijuana industry vowing to appeal, no licenses have been issued. That means dispensaries have no way of restocking their shelves with recreational weed after their existing inventory runs out. House and Senate negotiators faced looming deadlines, one of which had been self-imposed, and tried to reach agreement on a state budget and legislation regulating the retail marijuana industry, but came up short on both Thursday night in Massachusetts, the State House News Service reported, according to WCVB Boston. Lawmakers negotiating over marijuana and the fiscal 2018 budget, which has been complicated by declining tax collections in recent months, signaled early Thursday night that deals over either issue would not be forthcoming. The six-member conference committees had until 8 p.m. under House and Senate rules to file compromise legislation for it to be considered by the branches on Friday, but as the appointed hour came and went, officials involved in budget talks had not ruled out striking a deal as they continued to trade proposals. On marijuana, the House and Senate have clashed over tax rates and questions about who has the authority to ban retail pot shops from communities and appoint the members of the new Cannabis Control Commission. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt rejected a request from California to approve certain pesticides for use on organic crops. California wants to regulate capsicum oleoresin extract, garlic oil, soybean oil, potassium salts of fatty acids, and two strains of bacteria used by growers to control various insects, pests, mites, and/or diseases of cannabis. But to do so, it needs recognition by the EPA of these products as safe for use on cannabis. Pruitt writes that the request, quote, should be disapproved because any social, economic, or environmental costs associated with pesticide use on cannabis would not be reasonable or justified in light of the fact that such use is in furtherance of an illegal act, end quote. In rejecting the request, Pruitt noted that they have, quote, not identified any significant risks, end quote, associated with the products, and that, quote, EPA would not have been inclined to disapprove these registrations were the cultivation and sale of marijuana generally lawful in the United States. And finally, an emergency bill to give cities and towns in Maine temporary authority to ban pot shops and facilities within 500 feet of schools was signed by Governor Paul LePage. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Friday, June 30th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
At Herbie. Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the Northwest Cannabis Chronicle from the Marijuana Business Association. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And one of the parts of the American dream is we're going to come down very, very hard on this massive drug problem.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
This is Marijuana Policy Insider, brought to you by the Marijuana Policy Project at MPP.org. MPP is the nation's largest marijuana policy organization, promoting sensible marijuana policy reform in Congress, in state legislatures, and through state and local ballot initiatives. Today, we take a look at the most recent state and federal reform efforts with the Marijuana Policy Insider.
Welcome to another edition of the Marijuana Policy Insider. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have the Communications Director for the Marijuana Policy Project, Mason Tvert, on the phone. Hello, Mason.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I'm so glad we got you on the air, because recently we heard the news of the Marijuana Policy Project having its banking accounts suspended or canceled after years and years of using a particular bank. Could you give us some of the details of what's going on?
Well, we've simply been informed that our accounts are going to be closed and we're going to need to find new ones, which is something that a lot of marijuana businesses have had to deal with and a lot of ancillary companies have had to deal with. It's just a bit absurd in this case, since we are not actually a marijuana business. We are simply an advocacy organization that works to change marijuana laws, but it really just highlights the absurdity of the current laws and the need for some legislation in Congress to clear this up and make sure that not only do businesses that deal with marijuana have banking access, but that organizations like ours are not getting caught up in this as well.
So what is the bank in question, and what is their justification behind this? Did they give you any reasoning?
It's PNC Bank, and we can't really speak for their specific intentions or reasonings. It could be that they have a new person in a certain position, or hired some new consulting firm that advised them to take a certain position. I certainly can't speak for them, but they have simply taken the position that many banks have, that because marijuana is illegal under federal law, and because MPP has received contributions, donations from state legal and regulated marijuana businesses, that they just don't want to expose themselves to any theoretical risk. And so as a result, they've notified us that they'll close the accounts, and it's really unfortunate, and we're hoping that we'll find some new ones here soon, and that this issue will get addressed, and that hopefully this will shine a light on this issue.
Well, this isn't a new issue with respect to the dispensaries that are actually cultivating cannabis or selling marijuana directly to the public, either for medicinal use or adult personal use. We've understood that in the past, but this attack on ancillary businesses that aren't aren't actually touching marijuana, but say that you guys get your money from people who do touch marijuana. Is this kind of a new development? I mean, we heard of the Massroots CEO being banned from the Wynn casinos under a similar idea that his wealth is derived from people that touch marijuana. Is this new?
Not really. You know, we've heard of other organizations and businesses having issues like this. I believe there have been some other advocacy groups who have had issues with PayPal, for example, not letting them use that online payment service because it was believed that they might be receiving payments from state legal marijuana businesses. So this is something that people have had to deal with. And then keep in mind that this is something that a lot of individuals have to deal with in these states, whether they're accountants or attorneys or any other number of professionals who are simply providing services to these state legal businesses. And as a result, they're having to deal with this.
Has there been any direct action from the Trump administration, from FinCEN, from any of these financial organizations in the government to directly mention this? Or is this more people acting on what might be, what could be, maybe a new fear because of a new administration?
Yeah, it's seemingly speculative. In fact, there was just news out earlier this month that more banks are opening more accounts for marijuana businesses than ever before. So there's actually been a steady increase, according to FinCEN, which is the enforcement arm of the Treasury Department. They have released data showing that there are more banks that are actually now doing business with marijuana companies than previously. And yet we still see these types of issues arising for MPP, but also, of course, for plenty of marijuana businesses all over the country. And it is just another sign that Congress needs to take action and really just put a, you know, resolve this issue once and for all. And there is legislation in both chambers of Congress, and it's picking up support. I believe they're up to 44 or so members in the House are co-sponsoring that. I think they're up to upwards of 8 or 9 maybe in the Senate, but obviously things happen slowly, and this is just hopefully going to be another wake-up call that they need to get this done.
That would be the Safe Banking Act that you're referring to?
Correct.
So we're gaining co-sponsors on the Safe Banking Act in both the House and the Senate, but as our listeners know, sometimes it just matters one or two people, particularly committee chairs, as to whether or not these things get heard and voted on. Do we have any information on how the relevant committees might approach this particular legislation?
I honestly don't know. And you know, honestly, I'm unsure of the current situation. It's not necessarily even just a question of whether there's a leadership issue. Keep in mind that Congress is also currently dealing with multiple investigations of various administration officials and engaging in all sorts of hearings surrounding the Trump administration. So there are just all sorts of things taking place in Congress that are preventing it from actually getting business done. So, you know, there are a lot of roadblocks that prevent things from moving through Congress above and beyond just level of support.
We also heard recently that Senators Gillibrand, Senator Paul, and I believe Senator Booker reintroduced the CARERS Act, but this time the CARERS Act has removed that banking part, and as well as another part that was problematic. So what is the prognosis on some of these other bills like the CARERS Act? Are they also being held up due to all these investigations? Do they have more support? Are they gaining sponsors, et cetera?
Well, the CARES Act was just introduced and, in fact, also had a couple additional original co-sponsors this time around. In fact, a couple Republicans, Mike Lee from Utah and Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. And so that was very good to see. And we are hopefully going to see it move more so than it did this last time around. It did just happen in the last week or two here, so it's a little too soon to say what we can expect in the immediate future, but it certainly we can say that we expect to see more support, and it is really the primary marijuana legislation in the Senate. It's really the big piece of marijuana specific legislation that we expect to get a lot of debate and discussion, of course, in addition to the banking subject. But that tends to be a less about marijuana and more about that financial crimes and banking piece. So stay tuned.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for so long as I've been following these issues in Congress, I'm very blessed to be living in Portland, Oregon, and I get to vote for Representative Earl Blumenauer, who's been a strong champion of reforming our marijuana laws, going all the way back to Oregon's decriminalization when he was a state representative back in 1973. But lately, as you just mentioned, we're getting a lot of co-sponsors, a lot of bipartisan co-sponsors, even people like Mike Lee out of Utah, the Republican from Utah. Does this newfound Republican support for these acts surprise you in any way?
Not in particular. We saw Lisa Murkowski asking some pointed questions to the Deputy Attorney General about the federal government's positions on marijuana, and particularly medical marijuana, and clearly demonstrating an interest. And obviously, Alaska is a state that has been having a lot of discussion about this subject. And really, you know, the more and more this topic comes up in the news and the more public dialogue there is about it, the more likely we are to see support. And so that's why we're seeing that support from a senator from Alaska. And then, of course, in Utah, we've seen, while we haven't seen a law passed through the legislature there, it's gotten closer and closer, and we are actually expecting to see a ballot initiative for medical marijuana in Utah next year. And so it's not surprising to see a member from Utah coming out and talking about this, because they are hearing about it from their constituents. The more it's in the news, the more it's being talked about, the more they're hearing about this and hearing from their constituents. And they know that this is something that they can support and that they can speak out on safely. And they also learn about it and they realize it's the right thing to do.
And now, in a case of the exception proves the rule, you can't always count on people on the other side of the aisle, the Democrats, even Democrats from California who used to be mayors of San Francisco. I'm speaking, of course, of Senator Feinstein, who is teamed up with Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, the Republican, on some new marijuana legislation. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Well, Sarah Feinstein has certainly never been a friend to marijuana policy reform. And of course, Chuck Grassley has also been quite an opponent and has been really, was responsible for holding up legislation in the Senate. He heads the Judiciary Committee. And, it's slipping my mind exactly what you're referring to. I do recall seeing it. I know that they've proposed some bills surrounding research on marijuana, but generally these are passive aggressive types of bills that are really more so intended to suggest that they are doing something when in fact they're not really helping at all.
Yeah, I think this was a research bill that they had put out regarding cannabidiol research, I think it was, mm-hmm. and. I was just reading up on that recently and how they are still not bringing in experts on this who are pro-legalization. So that's a little bit of a concern here.
Exactly. And the fact that, I recall reading about it when it first came out, and these are bills that we don't take particularly seriously or really get involved in because they're not bills that we consider helpful. They're not bills that would move the ball forward for marijuana policy reform. They're generally really being brought forward as a way to make the progress we want to see more difficult. And so we don't really give them a whole lot of time and attention.
You know, another function of this might be the fact that both Senators Feinstein and Grassley are 82 years old. There's certainly a generational component to this, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. It's certainly part of it. And I think that they are still, living in that age where they are fighting the 60s.
Yeah, well, Willie Nelson's 84, so they really have no excuse. Mason DeVert is the communications director for the Marijuana Policy Project. Mason, would you give our listeners some contact info so they can follow up on some of these federal alerts that you've got going?
Sure. certainly encourage everyone to go to marijuanapolicy.org, and there you can find out what's happening in your states, and you can also sign up for alerts to hear about what's going on in your legislature as well as at the federal level in Congress. So it's marijuanapolicy.org.
All right, check that out today. And Mason, thanks for talking to us, and good luck on finding some new banking services.
Thank you very much.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of the Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. If you're an organization or business looking to promote your brand, we have sponsorship patronage available at MJAgenda.com. Sponsorship includes 15 and 30 second ad breaks and 6-minute interviews on the podcast, depending on sponsorship level, which begins at $19.99 a month. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at MJAgenda.com.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy, because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, I want to take a look at what has been falsely termed, and I've been guilty of falsely calling it this, the opiate overdose epidemic. I've been schooled on the idea that perhaps we shouldn't call it epidemic, because epidemics, we usually reserve that for diseases you can catch. So I'm amenable to that idea. Let's call it a crisis, an emergency, a catastrophe, perhaps. So I want to take a look at some of the data behind this recent phenomenon, since we're not going to call it an epidemic. The number of overdose deaths that are being suffered in this country have skyrocketed. We have seen an increase of times two when it comes to opiates times three, when it comes to the synthetic opiates times six, when it comes to heroin. And this is not to blame anyone or judge or cast aspersions upon people who have a dependence on an opiate painkiller, whether they get that through a prescription and then that prescription is cut back or eliminated and then they turn to heroin on the street, whether it's people who were heroin users who've gotten caught up in batches that are laced with fentanyl, the highly potent opioid drug. It has nothing to do with that. It is not demonizing anyone who has that situation that they have to deal with. This is taking a look at what are clearly rapidly increasing numbers of deaths in this country. And when you start to look at some of the numbers behind it, you see most of these rapidly increased deaths have come with a rapid increase in the amount of opioids that are allowed to be produced by the drug companies, and the latitude we are granting those drug companies to push those products upon the public, how they've been working to undermine the drug regulation system, how to make the doctors having them write prescriptions as the first resort in pain management, giving them false information on how much dependence these were likely to cause, the risks that were potential from these drugs that people knew were possible, knew that these drugs were highly addictive substances. And we can debate what causes addiction and the fact that we have the rat park study that shows, you know, when you take rats and you put them in a cage and you give them water or cocaine, they use cocaine until they die. But if you give them a nice cage that has female rats in it and lots of food and lots of activities and things to keep them from getting bored, they don't become addicted to cocaine. And that's really a telling study. But in the real world, we're not rats that we can just immediately make a nice cage for. These are highly complex social problems of education and health care and mental health care and crime and joblessness and homelessness. Problems that aren't going to be solved in the next year or two, while 60,000 people a year are dying from these highly addictive opioids and dying in numbers that are greater than the total number of people that died in the Vietnam War. And this is not to say there's not people that need these medications, but we've set up a system where the people that need these medications can do so in a safe and regulated fashion. We can't say that we are for the regulation of substances, including marijuana, treat marijuana like alcohol, to say that it's harm reduction, and then ignore harm actually happening and pretend that that's not actually happening and pretend that it isn't a fault of the policies we've set in place that allow the rampant manufacturing and marketing of these substances for non-medical purposes included.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm astonished to hear people suggest we can solve our heroin crisis. Have you heard this? By having more marijuana.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
I-
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me for A Sensible Future from Students for Sensible Drug Policy every other Tuesday here on the Marijuana Agenda. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about. Welcome to the Rocky Mountain Cannabis Chronicle. No state exemplifies the world of adult-use cannabis like the only state where that is a constitutional right, Colorado. But the rest of the Rocky Mountain states of Utah, Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana are still some of the worst places for adult cannabis consumers. Join us now where the air is crisp and the mountains are high. It's time for the Rocky Mountain Cannabis Chronicle. Welcome to the Rocky Mountain Cannabis Chronicle. I'm Russ Belville. On today's program, we take you back to that island of prohibition in the western states known as Idaho, where activists gathered in April for the first annual Boise Hemp Fest. Flying up from Beverly Hills, California was Cheryl Schumann, who's head of the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club and a very well-known national activist for medical marijuana. We begin with my introduction of Cheryl Schumann at the Julia Davis Park Amphitheater Bandshell.
The next person I'd like to introduce to you is another person who I have the privilege of having kind of ushered into this realm of cannabis activism. I was up in Aspen, Colorado for a legal seminar, and coming back from the Aspen airport to go to Aspen, we get on a shuttle, and this woman and her lovely daughter get on. And we have this conversation. I find out she's from Beverly Hills. She's interested in the movement. She's got a lot of connections. She's in show business, a celebrity. I'm like, oh my God, perfect. And since then, this woman has probably been seen on more different types of media as far as the television goes, as far as being on like Ricky Lake and shows like CNN and the Fox Business Network and all of that. So a big variety. And has done a fantastic job on presenting to an audience. I mean, we all love marijuana, right? We're all for it. But we got to also reach out to the most of the people out there that aren't like us. People out there that are like business people. People out there that are like in the suits and they're casting the votes and all that. We got to reach them too. And nobody's been doing a better job of that in the media than my next guest. Please welcome from California, Cheryl Schumann.
Russ is the guilty party here. you know, I have to admit to you guys, I've been crying a lot today. It's the 1 year anniversary of my mom's death. And I don't know how many of you are moms in the audience. How many moms? Anybody? Can you clap, make some noise? Some things I know you're here. Okay. How many of you are medical marijuana patients? How many of you want just responsible adult use for cannabis? Okay. I wanted to know because my path to cannabis is a little bit different than most people. I'm one of those mainstream people that most people hate that got into this movement. I was one of those goody two-shoes who never had a cigarette, never had a drink of alcohol because my stepfather was a raging alcoholic who used to beat the holy shit out of my mom and out of me, and I swore that I would never, ever do anything that would alter my level of consciousness. And then one day, I was diagnosed with cancer, and that changed my life. I went from literally being on top of the world to being told by these Western doctors that I was going to die in probably less than 4 months, and I was in an illegal state. So I did my thing, I gathered my children, I set up a living will, and then I reunited with a friend from California that we'd gone to high school with. And right when I was getting ready to sign over for hospice, he told me about CBD plants. And this was 7 years before Dr. Sanjay Gupta or anyone had ever heard of CBD. So I decided to sign out of hospice care because I figured, you know what, if I'm gonna die, I want to go out with a smile on my face. And I want to enjoy the quality of life for every single day that I had left. So for me, I got into this for a strictly medical purpose. And it saved my life. I have been alive 10 years longer than any of the Western medical doctors said I would. And I am still standing. But the sad thing was, like for other people who are living in illegal states, and that's why I'm here in Boise, Idaho, because we can't do this anymore. People are dying. My mom died because she was living in an illegal state and was too afraid to try cannabis to save her life because she was afraid that she was going to get arrested. And 1 year ago today, after me being able to help thousands of cancer patients, thousands of pediatric oncology patients all over the world, and spending time with some of the top scientists in Israel and learning through clinical trials that this does work for cancer. It does work for all kinds of cancer, brain cancer, pediatric oncology, epilepsy, Dravet syndrome, and all of these things. And I was on stage because my mom, this time last year, because we all know 420 is the big time for all of us to come out. And I support responsible adult use. I have friends who enjoy cannabis, and I think cannabis should be accepted as a glass of wine with dinner if that is what we choose. But this time last year, I got a call that my mom had fell, and they had found a small tumor cell that was totally treatable. And then I said, I left the event right away. I got in my car and I started driving back east. And my dad called right when I had hit New Mexico. And he said, your mom's going to die tonight. And I drove for 40 solid hours to see my mom. And she hung on just until I got there. And with her last dying breath, she said, Jake, which is my nickname, Jake. Because I grew up on a tobacco farm and we were really poor. And she said, whatever you do, do not give up your fight. There are people counting on you. And with my mom's last dying breath, I have continued to go out there and to fight for people. And then, 3 weeks after my mom's passing, I thought I was fine. Everything seemed fine. I was walking my dog and I got hit walking my dog by a hit and run driver. I ended up in the trauma unit for over a week. And guess what? As good as I feel, they found 4 new tumors. A mass in my right breast, a mass in my lung, masses in my colon, and 2 huge masses in my liver. But you know something? I will never be able, no one will ever be able to get a liver transplant if you are a medical cannabis patient. And why? Because it's a Schedule I drug. And now I'm in a situation where I'm going back to Ohio, my home state. Why? Because my dad is there by himself. My father is deaf and blind and has diabetes so severely that they need to amputate his legs. So now I have to go back to a state that even though it has medical marijuana laws, they aren't going to be fast enough for me because my tumors are growing at a rate right now that I might not make it. But I'm telling you something, and I hope every single one of you, if you have anyone in your life that has ever been sick and has been helped by this plant, or if you feel better at the end of the day from post-traumatic stress disorder, whether you're a veteran or whether you're a mom and you're just tired, and instead of Xanax or Valium, you prefer a puff from your vape or a hit from a joint, I am fighting every single day out there for you. How do I do it? When I first came into this, I worked in the media. I worked in television. I know everybody who's anybody in Hollywood, from Brad Pitt to Angelina Jolie. They all smoke pot. We all know they smoke pot. For God's sakes, Rihanna and Lady Gaga are on stage. And that's when I decided, you know what? Just like Pauline Sabin, who was a woman in the 1930s who led high society women and was credited with overturning alcohol prohibition, I looked at her and I said, wait a minute, what does she have that I don't have? I'm in high society. I know some highfalutin friends. I know media. I know some celebrities. And you know what? I'm sick and fucking tired of poor kids going to jail for the rest of their lives and losing their scholarships and women losing their children and people losing their jobs and losing their homes. And I dedicated every single bit of energy I could. And I teamed up with Sarah Frank, who is the founder of Moms for Marijuana. And you know what? Moms get shit done. Yeah. That's what we do. And when it comes to our babies and our families, do you realize that 87% of all household decisions, whether it be healthcare or food or the shopping that you do, those decisions are made by the women. And I am telling you, make no doubt about it. Russ will tell you, there was no mainstream coverage on marijuana when I started this campaign. The only time you would see marijuana on television was when they were busting somebody, or where a house would be blown up by a butane extraction gone wrong, or people getting busted. There weren't any white women from Beverly Hills with two kids going out there and talking about it. But you know something? It's not that I'm not that great or anything. It was somebody that mainstream could relate to, where they could look at me and say, wow, she could be my sister, she could be my aunt, she could be my teacher, she could be my doctor. And so they started to listen. So first it was CBS, then it was Ricky Lake, and then it was the ABC, The View, 2020, et cetera. And Barbara Walters, when she sat me down in that chair, and I felt like I was going to wet myself because I was so nervous that Barbara Walters was going to be interviewing me, she looked at me and she said, wow, you don't look like what I thought a pothead would look like. And you know what? Every one of us are different. There are plenty of Beverly Hills housewives, I assure you, that love marijuana. And you know what? But they're not the ones going to jail. Just like our kids, where I grew up, you know, the poor kids are the one that goes to war. They're the ones that go to jail. So we have to continue fighting. So how many of you out of the women, I'm just curious, are activists? How many of you get out and get out the vote and get people to get involved? Anybody? Well, I want to say something. First of all, thank you for those that do. Secondly, I want you to understand the speakers that come to these things. I know that people want to party and have fun, and that's all great, and I support that, but these speakers come here on their own nickel. We pay all for our own expenses. We pay and come here to speak to you, to try to empower you to fight for yourselves. We are up against what I call a hostile government. I believe that Trump and Sessions are very dangerous for us. I am scared to death that we are going to lose the rights that we have. And we just can't. We just can't. So I pray and I hope that every single one of you here will sign the petition. Russ told me that was less than $250,000 in funding, which in the pot world is really nothing. With less than $250,000, you guys can get professional people in here that can get the signatures that you need. And you know what? You don't have to go to jail anymore. You don't have to live in the closet. And I'm telling you, there is nothing more liberating than living a life of authenticity and being proud of being a warrior on the front lines of this drug war and fighting for everybody, for their rights. And I hope that you'll continue to fight for all of us. Please sign the petition. Please stop by and thank Sarah for putting this on. Thank you so much for your time.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platshorn's TheSilverTour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at HempInc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from the SilverTour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at hempinc.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We need to say, as Nancy Reagan said, just say no. Don't do it. There's no excuse for this.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for the Cannabis Minority Report from the Minority Cannabis Business Association. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
As we prepare for the weekend, we remember that the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition is as much about culture as it is about criminal justice. Music has always been at the forefront of revolution, and the marijuana movement is no different. Join us as we visit with Herb Thrasher, program manager at 420radio.org, for this edition of Reefer Rock Review.
All right, everybody, we made it to the weekend, and that means we get to relax a little, dig into some culture, let down what's left of our hair. See, it's already Friday. We're getting into it. We're here with Herb Thrasher, who's here in the studio from 420radio.org to tell us all about the latest in Reefer Rock. So what's happening, Herb?
Oh, man, doing great. All kinds of great stuff happening in the music of rock. We've got 3 things to talk about today. A brand new release. We've got a summer festival coming up, and we've got a classic birthday with a featuring album that we'll be talking about here in a minute. Today, though, releasing June 30th, Five Horse Johnson. These guys are from Toledo, Ohio, spreading blues and rock, really mixing it up. You know, blues have always been kind of instrumental in the many arms and tentacles of rock that it happens, and these guys take it to heart. They really live this music, and they've brought a grand new style. And it's got 10 tracks. The album is Jake Leg Boogie, releasing through Small Stone Records today, June 30th. And it's their 8th studio album, featuring a lot of blues, heavy, dirty kind of blues rock, all kinds of beats. And they've got that kind of sound that really makes you think of the old Boogie, Jake Boogie kind of style. So really good album, 10 tracks on it. Title track, Jake Leg Boogie, and it's a great album, so get out there and always kind of support these underground bands who are just up and coming, trying to get out there and break a leg and get into this hard-driven music scene that it is. Then we all love these bands and support them. So again, Five Horse Johnson with the album Jake Leg Boogie, releasing today, June 30th, and you can go to the 420 Radio Facebook page, and I posted a link where you can stream that whole album and find out information as well. Again, Five Horse Johnson, Jake Leg Boogie. Now we've got a summer festival to talk about. Russ, this one's been going 33 years. This will be the 33rd annual Reggae on the River.
Oh, boy.
Always held in Humboldt, California. But this year was extremely pleasurable because Slightly Stupid was announced to be headlining on Saturday night. So great for them. We love Slightly Stupid. Always have been supporting the cannabis community and the cannabis world. And still today, even from the 90s, they are still living it. Every tweet is almost something about being high. And we appreciate that. And not only appreciate their music, starting off kind of punk and rock back in the 90s and have come full circle into this reggae kind of rock. Have even been on stage with Bob Weir before. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of great things happening with Slightly Stupid. Also playing that night, Jay Boog, Junior Kelly. Headlining Friday night, Assassin, a.k.a. Agent Sasko, and Stick Figure, a couple other bands. And then Sunday night would be Sly and Robbie with Marsha Grifters, Judy Newitt, and Shireen Anderson. A lot of other great bands in this whole reggae field. But Reggae on the River, everyone knows about it. Even when I mentioned it, you have already heard about it yourself.
Oh, yeah, many times. And Sly and Robbie, that's, you know, Sly and the Family Stone, some of the people from that group, that they're not going by Sly and the Family Stone anymore, but a lot of the same people, a lot of the same grooves. It'll be a
great show.
Yeah, it'll be a great show.
Right on.
Hey, we've got the Waterfront Blues Festival happening this weekend here in Portland as well.
We do. We have a lot of great bands like Chris Isaacs playing. And
Elvin Bishop, Joss Stone.
Yep, Galactic.
There's a Stax review, Booker T kind of Stax music review. It's wonderful.
Yeah, so great news on that. 420 Radio has a photo pass, so we will be taking photos all weekend long at this weekend's Portland Blues Festival, and we'll be posting them next week on the 420 Radio Facebook page and our website as well. So we'll be giving you links as that. Always check out our Twitter and Facebook, and we'll be giving you all kinds of news with things happening with that. All right, let's get to a classic album. When you talk about stoner rock and the stoner rock world back in the 90s, as it was becoming a certain genre within the music, Black Sabbath, you know, carried it all these years, and up until then it was just heavy metal, and Black Sabbath was heavy metal. Well, in the 90s, stoner rock really started becoming a genre, and one of the bands, the albums that kind of helped push that was Caius.
Oh.
And Welcome to Sky Valley, released on June 28th, 1994. And this album, I like to think of it like if stoner rock had a Hall of Fame, this album cover would be right there when you walked in. You'd be listening to it. Great. Got 10 songs on there. Old school. This is where we got Gardenia and Asteroid, 100 Degrees, Odyssey. Always been playing this band and these kind of musics. A lot of you guys know Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age, and he's done a lot of his singles kind of stuff right now. He started that band. He's an original member of Caius, and so shout out to Caius, 23 years old. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Sky Valley. And you can also go to the Facebook 420 Radio Facebook page, and I posted a link to that album as well. You can stream it, and as well for the Reggae on the River. All the information is right there on the 420 Radio Facebook page. So you guys definitely keep supporting music and keep supporting rock.
Right on, and check it out at 420radio.org. And, of course, tonight, coming up, we've got the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour on 420 Radio, followed by Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. Can you give him a preview?
That's right. Looking forward to actually playing some of these songs from Five Horse Johnson, and we'll definitely look back at the Welcome to Sky Valley from Caius, and we'll be talking about the Northwest String Summit coming up in 2 weeks, starting to become right around the corner. Interviewed Scott McDonald from the Northwest String Summit, and that interview will be airing tonight on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour as well, 8 p.m. on 420radio.org. All the information about tickets, a lot of the bands, camping, stages, all that information is there. Sky was really great. They're on their 16th annual Northwest String Summit right here in North Plains, Oregon. So summer festivals heating up, always a lot of fun.
And don't forget that you can take 420 Radio with you. It's a radio station. It's not just Herb Thrasher and Big Daddy Fink. There's music 24/7. It's always 420. You'll hear some great stoner rock, great metal, all sorts of great music on 420 Radio. And you can take it with you just like the old transistor radios by getting the 420 Radio app. You can get that on Android. You can get it on iPhone and just have your phone playing the best stoner rock in the land. So looking forward to that.
Yep. Just go to the website. You can find out all information for there. And we'll be having a few exciting announcements coming up. Behind the scenes, we've been doing a lot of work and working towards a brand new kind of relaunch, a brand new kind of programming, and we'll be announcing some great stuff here really soon. So check in 420radio.org and always support the marijuana agenda.
Hey, man, thanks, Herb Thrasher, for stopping in here. Great to have Herb Thrasher stopping into the studio. We recorded that late last night. Get it on the air today. And I'll be tuning in to the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour on 420radio.org. It starts at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And it's 2 hours of the best stoner rock and metal you could hope for. Learn some new bands. Herb's always got some great info. Stay tuned for hour two, but until next time, take care of each other, tokers, and happy 4th of July weekend.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You think you're free, you're ready, you're growing, you're trying, you're rolling.